Hello, my little engineers. Today we are going to continue our tutorials in computer vision systems. Here is engineer Khaled Adil. And shall we start? Okay, some tips at first. I advise you to use the full screen for better viewing experience, okay? And let's continue. First of all, let's take the table of contents. We're gonna take the difference between the correlation versus the convolution kernel. What is the kernel? Kernel, that is the filter we have been using, okay? And second, we are going to talk about boundary problems, clipping methods, then in depth with filters, we're gonna use some filters, edge detection, and the medium filter. And lastly, we're gonna take our temple matching method. And then gonna do some application on temple matching, okay? But first, just remember, always remember, there is behind every picture a story, okay? And the goal of computer vision is to write a computer programs that can interpret the image, which means that can take an image and describe and tells what is in this image and so on, okay? Let's start. Okay, this is our tutorial, and first of all, we are using Jupyter Notebooks, which is based on Python environment. And let's talk about the correlation versus the convolution kernel. What we mean about the kernel, we mean that it is a filter, okay? First, the correlation kernel, okay, or the correlation filter. What we have here, there is an image which called f of x and y, and there is a filter which called h of u and v, which contains some characters like a, b, c, d, e, f, g, h, I, okay? And the result, which called g of x and y, okay? What we are seeing now is that the image and the filter is looping on this image, okay? There is an image or a picture of zeros, which is the value of the corresponding pixel, and there is one in the middle. Okay, what we are going to do is moving that filter on the image to see what the result is. Okay, first, let's reset this image. Okay, it is a 3x3 filter. Okay, it sits now on the zeros, which prints on the corresponding image a zero, and moving one step to the right prints F, and then one step to the right prints E, and the last step prints D. What you are noticing now is that the image and the filter, just multiplying them together and rotating over the image, results the inverse of the filter. Okay, what we mean now is that the filter is flipping from left to right and from bottom to up. Why is this happening? Because the filter is moving one step to the right, and the one is meeting the F and results it. Then it meets the E, and then that meets the D, okay? Which causing this flipping from left to right and from upside to down, okay? To here, we are facing a problem which we didn't face on lab two. Why we didn't face this problem in lab two? Because all the operators we have been using was a Gaussian distribution filters, okay? Now, in a standard filter, and what we know about the Gaussian distribution filter, is that it doesn't matter, okay? The left is equal to the right, and the bottom is equal to the top, okay? It doesn't matter if it flipping the filter or not, okay? Okay, let's take a slightly comparison between the two types of this filtering, okay? We have the correlation, what we have been using, and the convolution, that's a new one right here, okay? In the correlation filtering, the kernel is not rotated, as you can see. Okay, what we are doing is just multiplying them together. Okay, and the formula is summation of U and summation of V, which means rotating over the image over the rows and columns, and multiplying H of U and V multiplied by F of I plus U and J plus V. Okay, H here is the kernel, okay? And F is our filter, okay? This is just multiplying our filter values with the image values, okay? We can denote this notion by this symbol, okay? On the other hand, the convolution, how it operates, it just flipping the image before it multiplies it by the filter from left to right and from bottom to up. It just rotates the image and then applying the filter and results what's inside. Okay, when flipping the image before applying the filter is flipping it again, causing the normal image to came back again. Okay. What is the difference in the formula? Here we are flipping the image, which called F. We are flipping its values. The change here is in the plus or addition sign, which is here. The negative signs in both the U and V means that the image is going from left to right in the U and from bottom to up in the V. And denoted by this star symbol when we are using the convolution filtering. Okay, so the difference between the correlation and the convolution is the correlation just multiplies the two, and the convolution is just there is a pre-processing step which flipping the image and then applying our filter. Okay. Continuing what we are talking, let's go to the boundary problems. Okay, there is a problems while doing an image processing step or applying a filter, which is how you're gonna iterate on this image. Okay, we have three approaches to do so. First of all, the full boundary, which we mean we're gonna start applying the filter from outside the image and then irritating over the image, as you can see, from upside, and then we're gonna step down one step and then irritating over the first row of pixels in this image until we done with the image. The same boundary here, it's meaning that the first pixel in the image we're gonna face the middle value of the filter. Okay, we have an image here and we have a filter here. Okay, you can imagine a filter as a sub image. The notebook is showing better than me. Okay, the middle value of the filter is at position 0 and 0 in the image and start irritating until you reach the end of the image and applies your filter. The third one is a valid, which the filter is inside the image, fully inside the image, and start irritating until we have done. Okay, what we were using in lab 1 and lab 2? Guess. That's right. We have been using the valid boundary. Why? Because it's easier and it doesn't require much of coding to handle this boundary problems. Okay. But in the end, what it matters, what is the difference between them? It depends on the application you are working in. Okay. How we can handle these problems? Okay. There is we are talking now about the boundary problems. Okay, how we can handle this boundary problems? There is a four methods to do so. Okay, first one, the cliff filter, which means we are going to make a budding which has a value of zero, which called a black budding. Okay. Second one is called wraparound. Third one, copy edge. Fourth one is reflective, our reflect across edge. Okay. Let's zoom a little bit on this images. Okay. These images represented these four techniques to handle the boundary problems. Okay. The first one is clip, right? Is clip filter. Okay. This is the image. What you are doing now is applying a boundary of zero. Okay. This boundary of zero, it shows as a black boundary around the image, as you can see. Okay. Applying this black boundary and then cropping the image to get our filtered image back. Okay, first we're going to make a black budding or black boundaries outside the image and then irritating on the image of which method you are irritating. So either full or same or what we call them, full, same, and valid. Okay, and rotating over the image and then clipping back or cropping back the image to get our image. Okay, what we're seeing here, there is a little bit of disadvantage in this image. Okay, there is a black light coming across the boundary because what we are doing is rotating over the image with the black boundary. When we got inside the image, some of the black intensity got leaked to the image and causing this vintage look. Okay. The second approach is what we call wrap around. Okay. Wrapping around, all it means is that we're gonna make our image, okay, take our image and then flipping the left boundary or the left edges to the right ones and the right boundaries or the right edges to the left ones and then cropping the image. It's not the best solution, it's not have been used today, but it is a technique that once have been using. Okay, the third one is copy edge. Copy edge, as you can see, this is the image and this is applying the copy edge approach. What we are seeing now is that the first row has been copied from the first row to the end of the boundary. Okay, we are going to shift the first row to the up. Okay, and the left column we are going to shift it to the left and so on. So we are going to make or take the first row of pixels and shift it up. Okay, and so on with the other edges. Okay, the best one here is the last one, which is called a reflective edge. What a reflective edge is, just we have an image here, and here is applying the reflective edge. What it does, it just acts as a mirror, okay? As you can see, if we zoom in a little bit further, as you can see, there is a line here. This line is the edge of the image. And what happened here is we take the image and reflect it back right here to form a boundary outside the image. It is the best one to use. It keeps all the properties of the image, all the properties and all the statical properties of the images. It is the most one that people have been using until today, okay? And finally, It is each one of them based on the application you are working at. The easiest one to apply, it is the clip filter, the black padding around the image. It is the easiest one, okay? But based on the application, it is applied what you are needing, okay? Let's get to the code, okay? First, we are importing some libraries as a NumPy, deep copy to copy things, matplotlib to plot or view some of what we are going to do, FFT convolve, it is to make things easier. It is the same. This function, it is the same of irritating over the image, but it is much faster. And then we are going from matplotlib, import rectangle, which draws a rectangle in an image. We're gonna need it. Okay. Here we're going to read an image. Okay. This image of dolphin we have been using in lab 2. We're just going to read it. And then applying again the blurring filter. Okay. This is the uniform filter of blurring, not the Gaussian filter. As you can see, we are just multiplying by a matrix of ones, multiply by 1/9. Okay, that's the uniform filter we took the last tutorial. Okay, here we are defining a function called the blurring, which takes the image, the height of the image, and the width of the image. Okay, we are going to make a copy of that image. Deep copy is doing is that it takes the image and make a copy of it. Okay, if we take this image to another variable, it just don't copy that image, it just index back that image. What I mean is that making, okay, let's imagine it. Okay, if we have image here called the X, okay, and we copied another copy of this X, okay, now we have two copies, the original one that called the X and the new one that called Y, okay? Okay, assigning a variable or assigning an image to a Y doesn't mean Python is gonna copy it. Copy it, okay? What Python is doing is creating an variable X and variable Y with the index of the original X. So it doesn't copy it, just makes another variable with the index of the original variable, okay? Doesn't copy it, just point to original one. Okay, what we need here is this X became X and we have another one called Y independently. Okay, why? Because changing in Y doesn't affect the original image. That's why we have been using deep copy instead of just assigning the variable. Okay, we use the deep copy to copy the image to image called blurred image and then rotating over the rows and columns with a nested loop starting from zero or pixel number zero, ending by height -3 or width -3, and the steps is one step per move. Okay, here is. Okay, that's okay. So the zero is the start. Okay, height -3 is the end. And this one is our step. Okay. There is a question here. Why did we use the height minus 3? Okay. Our filter is 3 by 3 filter. Okay. When we multiplying its values for every row of pixels in the image, when it gets to the end of the row, we need to stop before the end of the row by 3 steps. That's why we call the width minus 3 and the height minus 3. We don't need to the filter to break the image causing an error. You want to find the values to multiply its values with it. Okay, so are we breaking this loop before the last 3 pixels? It's going to apply to the 3 by 3 pixels, but it needs to stop before it goes outside our image. Okay. Okay, these basic loops, we have used them before. Okay. Then we are going to take a clip of the image just from I to I plus 3 and from J to J plus 3, which means a 3 by 3 sub image. Okay. Like that. This sub image we have been taking and assigning it to a variable called the image. Okay. And then we are going to define our filter is 1/9 multiplied by a uniform matrix of ones. And the last step is just multiplying that filter with the image that we was clipping from an image. So we've got a sub image and we got our filter, also a 3 by 3 filter, which has one values, or we can say 1/9 value. Okay. And we just multiplying them together. Okay. Then we defined our filter and then multiplying it with the image or the sub image and then rotating over the original image to assigning the filtered sub image to it back again and then return the original image. Okay. So we are going to apply this clearing function on the Dolphin application, okay? On the Dolphin image. And let's see our results. Okay, here we are plotting the original image and the filtered image. Okay, what we're seeing here is a blurred version of our original image, which you can zoom in, notice the difference. Okay, what you are seeing now, this is the original, this is the filtered one. Okay, you can see here, this is splash, here is blurred or smoothed down there. Okay, so it's just the normal clearing filter. Let's move to the next. The next one is the same code, but different filter. Okay, here is a filter of what we will be using. You can notice that the filter is definitely 3 by 3 as the other one, but there is, as we can imagine, this filter. Let's take its values, 0, negative 1, 0, negative 1, negative 1, negative 1, 0, 0, and 5. What you are noticing now is that we are going to pop up the middle value of each 3.3 pixels in the image and fading away the rest of the value. So we're going to pop up this pixel and fading away the rest. Okay, by multiplying the middle value by 5 and the others by 0. This is handy for sharpening the image values. Okay, same code just here. We're not applying our filter on the whole 3.3 subpixels. We're just applying in I plus 1 to J plus 1, which means the middle value only. We are applying the filter. Okay, and here's the results. Okay, as you can see, it's clearly now that the values or the values of the pixels, you can see in this splash here, that is the values have been popped up more than the original ones. You can see the sharpness in this image have increased significantly. Okay, so this was the sharpening filter. Okay, lastly, we're going to talk about something called a median filter. Okay, what is the median does? What is the median means? If you remember, if we have an array of numbers, this array of numbers contains two, 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 and 20. And we want this array to get a median from it. What we are doing, we just, okay, let's shuffle them first. Okay, we have 2, 20, 2, 2, 2. Okay, we shuffled them. Okay, and we wanna get the median from them. We're just gonna sort them. This is the first step in getting the median. Okay, sorting them gonna result 2, 2, 2, 2, and 20. Okay, this is the first step. Okay, the second step to get the median is that we will get the middle value. Okay, what we have here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 values. So we're going to get the middle value, 2 to the right and 2 to the left. We're going to get the middle value. So the median here is just 2. Okay, that's the median idea. Okay, what we will be using here is just a numpy dot median of an image, 3x3 image. 3x3 image is the sub image we have been taking. Okay, we got a 3x3 sub image, and then the filter is getting the median of this image and then applying this median on every middle pixel on the image. Okay, so what it does and why we will use it. Okay, let's clear it. Okay, we just did it. Okay, what is the result? Let's see. It seems like it acts like the smoothing filter or the blurry filter. This splash have been smoothed. Okay, so we can call it a smoothing filter, right? But what is the difference? Why did we need it? Okay. Why we need it? Maybe for removing the noise. Okay, what we talk in lab 2 from ioniform smoothing filter to the Gaussian smoothing filter, what we have been using them just to remove a noise from a picture, okay? Okay, so we have a uniform, we have a Gaussian and a median, okay? So the uniform was resulting not the best results, but now we have a Gaussian, which is quite good. We have a median, which looks good too. So what is the difference? Okay. Why making two of them when one of them just functions? Okay. Okay. Here, a little comparison between the median and the Gaussian. Okay, removing noise with either Gaussian or median, what should I use? Okay, here is the benefits of the median. Okay, okay. The median is robustness to outliers. Okay, it is a robust to outliers. As we saw, that if we have an array of twos and there is an outlier called 20, it just removes that 20 away and replaces it by a 2 value. Okay, more beneficial in removing noise. Just makes sense. Okay. Remember that Gaussian, it just smooths the values of the pixels, not removing noise. Just smooths the signal. Okay. Wherein the median is replacing the signal. Okay. The median is not smoothing. The median is replacing this value by the median value, while the Gaussian is smoothing the values to make them, or to make the correlation between them is the most, okay? He tries to smooth the signal to get the best value for these pixels, okay? Preserves edges while removing noise. It doesn't fade away these edges. If the image has the edges and your application depends on these edges, many of applications depends on edges, it doesn't remove the edges or manipulate them out, okay? The Gaussian filter can smooth some edges, okay? The median doesn't. Okay. There is a little comparison. If we have three types of signals, that is the input, okay? And we have here a signal, and this signal, we can notice here, there is the outlier here, okay? The signal moves in a uniform, and then it drops down and goes up again, okay? Okay. What is the median is doing is that this outlier was found here. This outlier, it drops down to the uniform distribution of that line, okay? Why it drops down? It just replaces its value. You can imagine that that's the 20 and those are the twos, okay? When the filter came here, it just saw outlier, so it sorts the signal and gets the middle value, which is 2, and replaces the 20 by this 2. So it smoothed this line, okay? Okay, and then it found a drop down, which didn't cause anything, and continues its signal and doesn't change anything in this signal. Okay. On the other side, the mean or the Gaussian, what it causes is just when it sees the outlier here, it just smooths the signal to count this outlier. Okay. Okay. When it sees this drop down, it tried to smooth the old signal with the drop down causing a declining curve. Okay, so it made a curve, a little curve up and smoothed this drop down to cause this resulting curve. Okay, this difference here can cause a fading edge problem. Okay, if you have an image with edges, you need these edges badly in your application, you can't use a Gaussian smoothing filter. You have to tend to use the median. As you can see here, it preserves this edge, not smoothing it. Okay, it's just robust outliers, which is here. Okay, that was a little comparison between the two of them. And we're going to move to edges. Okay. We're going to get an image called X shapes and name it shape. Okay. We're going to apply the same function we have been using, but with a different filter. Okay. Our filter here is called a Sopel operator from a leading scientist in computer vision. Called Sopel. Okay, he made a lot of matrices or a lot of filters. So we got the vertical Sopel operator for edge detection, which consists of 1, 2, 1, 3 zeros, -1, -2, -1. Okay, we're applying this filter to the image as we used before. And that's the result. Okay, you notice there is a circle here, a square or a rectangle here, and a vertical line here. Okay, as a vertical Sopel operator, it should preserve the vertical edges only. Okay, so here on the circle, this image is a little bit sharpy. So it preserves this sharpness vertical edges. It's kind of little vertical edges. And this line was the boundary of the rectangle. And the upper boundary is not found because it's a horizontal, not a vertical one. And the horizontal down boundary is also gone, and only it preserves the three vertical lines here. Okay, that's the vertical Sopel operator. Okay, on the other hand, the horizontal Sopel operator is just adding dot t to the matrix. Okay, what dot t does, it just transposes this matrix. Okay, it just transposes this matrix to. Okay, so the dot t in Python NumPy functions is just transposing the matrix. Okay, if you are not familiar with transposing or just you forgot it, okay, if we have a matrix here, okay, let's make it a 2x2 matrix. 2, 1, 3, 4. When transposing this matrix, just converts every row as a column and every column as a row. So the first row of 2 and 1 would become like this, 2 and 1, a column, and the second row of 3 and 4 would become a column, like that. Okay, just transposing the image. So the vertical lines what become horizontal lines, just flipping the matrix. Okay, doing that should just be enough. Okay, to be honest, I tried it in Python, just ran into some problems and didn't come up with the results for me. It doesn't work out. Okay, but in other languages, it's sure it's gonna be working. Okay, Sobel, again, you made a lot of filters. You should try it yourself. Not just for vertical and horizontal edges. He made a lot. You can try it. Just multiplying its filter with your image would be enough. Okay. Let's apply the medium filter we just created with the image with the noise. Okay. Let's take an image, putting some noise on it, and then applying our median filter. Okay. So we are going to make np.random.randn. We used that before to create a Gaussian noise. Okay. That's creating a Gaussian noise. Randn is a function creating a random numbers, but with a Gaussian distribution. Okay. I'm gonna make a Gaussian noise with the side of 400 multiplied by 600, which is the size of our image. Okay, when we adding a filter or a noise to the image, or in matrices. Okay, generally speaking, if you need to add a matrix to another one, you need the sizes to be equal. Okay. It must be the sizes are equal to add them. So we are making the same size when we are making the noise is the same size with the image for just adding them together. Okay. This random numbers, we're gonna multiply it by sigma, which is the intensity of the filter. Okay, we're creating a random numbers multiplied by sigma, where sigma is a variable of 10, which is the intensity of the noise. Okay, if you want more noise, make the sigma of 15, 20, 25, 30. Or if you wanna make a less noise, just scaling down the sigma. Okay, just created a Gaussian noise called Gaussian here, and then looping on the image. Okay, first of all, we did a dolphin plus a Gaussian. Dolphin is the image. Gaussian is the Gaussian noise we made, and save it in noise dolphin variable. Okay. Here we are looping on the image with the previous medium filter, same previous medium filter we did before, but now we are looping on the noise dolphin image. Okay, not the original dolphin image. We are looping on the noise dolphin image. Okay, we're just trying to remove the noise we just created, okay? And let's see what the results are. Okay, here is the noise dolphin or noised dolphin image. And here is the result of applying a median filter to a noised image, okay? You can see it just smooths a little bit of these images and removing most of the noise to returning back and nearly the same, nearly not the same, of the dolphin image. Okay, just a lot better. Okay, so it's a little bit handy in removing a Gaussian noise, but it's more powerful to the normal noise, not the Gaussian noise. Okay, okay, there is three types of noise, as you can see. There is three types of noise. This is the original image. There is there is a noise called salt and pepper noise and impulse noise and the Gaussian noise. What is the difference between the three of them? Salt and pepper noise, it's just a random of two values pixels of zeros and 255, which means black and white pixels, which are scattered around the image in a random way. Okay, impulse noise, it is a white, random white pixels scattered around the image. And the Gaussian noise, sure, for sure, we have talked it before. So when or what is the type of noise? That's a medium filter, logically, is more robust, okay? The Gaussian, the impulse, or the salt and pepper, okay? Take your time to guess. We have here 1, 2, 3. What is the answer? Okay, we have tried it before with the Gaussian. Just remember. Okay, what is the more beneficial operation in this different noises? Okay. Whatever you imagined, let's see the answer. Okay. Here we have a random black and white pixels in the image. Here we have just white pixels scattered around the image. Here we have a Gaussian noise or a Gaussian values of pixels scattered around the image. Okay. It is more robust to the salt and pepper noise and the impulse noise. Why? Because if you have an array of a values and then a zero and then some values, so the zero is called outlier, okay, which the median is robust to outliers. The same idea applies in an array with some values and there is a 255, which is the maximum. Okay, you can consider it, can consider this as 255, which is the maximum value of a pixel. Okay, as you can see, it's likely more to be an outlier. Okay, so the median will catch these two and replace them with the median value. Okay, on the contrary, if we have a values of 2, 3, 4, and 6, okay, the Gaussian noise is not the least value or the maximum value. The Gaussian noise could be a 3. So here, median filter is not acting the best to catch this 3. You cannot see this 3 as an outlier. Okay. So, which is the best solution here? It is a salt and pepper noise and the impulse noise. Okay. Let's continue. We're going to talk about temple matching. What temple matching is, just getting a template of an image or a sub image and trying to find this image in a bigger picture. Okay, we are going to get a sub picture. Let's imagine it's just a face of a boy, this sub image, and we are trying to find this sub image in a bigger picture which have a lot of faces, okay, and a lot of shapes. Okay, we're trying to find or to match where this is in that image. Okay, let's start. First, we're going to crop the dolphin image. from 200 to 300 and from 400 to 500. Okay? I played a lot to get this dolphin face right. Okay? And then get the crop dot shape. Dot shape is a function. What it gets the height and the width of an image. Okay, so we get the shape of zero, which is the height, and assigned it to the edge, and we got the shape of one and assigned to the W. Okay, while preserving the height and the width of the image, we're gonna need them further. So of the sub image, not the original image. Okay, we got the cropped image, which is the face of the dolphin, and we got the edge, the height of it, and the width of it. Okay, and then plotting them too. Okay, this is the original image, this is the sub image. We need to find this sub image in the original image. Okay, that's what we're trying to do. Okay, how this is done? It's done through the correlation, or computing the correlation between the two images. Okay, what is the correlation? Okay, you have talked it for sure before. So let's recap things. If we have an array of numbers called X, and it have a 0, 0, 1, 2, 3, 5, 2, this is just a vector numbers, and we have a y. Y is an array of 0, 0, 1. Let's just 1, 2, 3, 6. Let's make them just 6 numbers. Okay. And we have our third array is Z. And Z is an array of 10, 2, 6. Okay. What we now need is to compute the correlation of X and Y and Z and X. What we are trying to do is to get the correlation between X and Y and the correlation of X and Z. What the correlation means, how those two vectors are likely to be similar. Okay, it's got its equation to compute them, but logically these three numbers are there. So that's half of this array. So the correlation between X and Y will be equal to 0.5, where the correlation between X and Z is likely to tend to go nearly to the zero. Okay, there is no correlation between Z and X, but there is a correlation between X and Y. That's the correlation. So that's in a single dimension arrays. What we need now is just computing a 2D, or we need a function to compute the 2D for black and white, or a 3D correlation for a colored image. Okay, so what we wrote here is defining a correlation function that takes the template and the image mode equal full. It is for the convolve function that will iterate fast or more quickly on this image and compute the correlation for us. Okay, what we have done here is taking the template and normalize it by subtracting the mean. and the image, normalizing the image and normalizing the template, and just then making a matrix of ones of the template shape. Okay, we just don't want to run the template or the image, we're just making a copy of it. And then flipping up and flipping right the template. What we did here is just moving from the correlation filter to a convolution filter. What we did here is just flipping the image or flipping the filter. We do the job, okay? We did flip the image from, the filter from upside down and from left to right, just to make it a convolution filter, not the correlation filter. Why? Because the correlation filter is just results the image flipped, okay? We just want the normal image. Okay, and then here we are convolving or irritating over the image and mood equal mood, which is the full images. We need to irritate on the full image. And here on the image, we are applying our correlation function. And then here, handling some errors. You don't need to dive deep into this question, just mathematical stuff. You don't need to worry about it. It is easy if you concentrate, but you don't need to know all of this. There is now built-in ready functions to do so without any headache of this stuff. And then, what is the correlation is resulting? Is resulting a correlation map, okay? So, the correlation, the results of the correlation values is always between 0 and 1, okay? Where is the 0? Is no correlation. And the 1 is called the exact, which I can remember, exact correlation, which means they are exactly the same, okay, of what you are comparing, okay? Where is the 0? Okay, so resulting a map like that, correlation map, is what we expect to result or to outcome from the correlation function between the cropped and the dolphin. Cropped is the template. Okay, just remember, cropped is the template and the dolphin is the original image. Okay, we need to apply the correlation function on both and get our correlation map. Correlation map intensity or values ranges from the 0 to the 1. Where is the 1? It is the maximum. It is a maximum similarity between the template and the image. Okay. And then here we are plotting just the correlation map. Okay. What we found here is that the intensity of this spot is tending to be a 1. Okay. Because it has the brightest spot. Okay. So the brightest spot is nearly here. Okay, so the template we have is almost, or what we think is maybe it will be found here. Okay? Okay. Now let's move to seeing our results. Okay, here, we are going to get the argmax. Argmax is going to get our maximum values of the image. Okay. In this correlation map, we are going to get our maximum value, or we will get the argmax is a combination between arg and the max, wherein the max it gets the maximum value and arg is going to get the arg or the index of this maximum value. Okay, we are going to get the index of this maximum value on this image, and then nb.unreveal index, the combination between unreveal index and argmax, is going to result not just the single maximum value, no, it just will get the correlation map.shape. We just know okay, so let's continue. Unreveal index is just going to get, if we have the correlation map here, okay, that's the correlation map, and we have here applied spot argmax, we get the center value, and then unreveal index will get to take this spot and get to return this index back. Okay, so we got our spot which causing the bright spot in our correlation map. We got its ending index. And remember that we got the ending index, not the first index. We got our ending index. We just now is going to plotting the dolphin image. The dolphin image is the original image of indices. Indices is the results of this function which we said will get the ending index of the bright spot. This is a bright spot. We got its ending in its ending in what is called ending index. We got it in its ending index. And this index can be masalan 200 by 400 to return a two-valued list. So we are now saying get the indices of zero, this x minus el h, that's the height of the template, which we are saying now return this index to the top. Two indices of zero. We are returning this to the top and plotting this area. In the rows or in the columns side, we are returning or starting from indices one minus the width. So we are going to return here, or you can imagine it after returning here and then returning here and plotting from index one minus the W to index one, which mean we are plotting the red spot on the right with the red spot on the top from the index here. So we are plotting the box or this box. After printing this box, we found that this box, this is bright spot, is actually the face of the dolphin. Then we just printing the indices shape found in the coordinates 299 and 400 99, which is corresponding to 300 and 500. Let's see where we cropped the template from 200 to 300. Or we can say 300 to 500, which, okay, let's draw an image or a template. We cropped the template from pixel 200 to 300. Okay, that's the vertical. And from 400, okay, we can draw it here, to 500. Okay, so that's the this index. We can say it's 300 by 500. Okay, that's our index. Where is the 5? That's not a 5. Okay, we can imagine it. It's a 5. Okay. And let's get down to the coordinates that results here, which is 300 and 500. As we have said, it will find the ending index, so we need to return up and left. Okay. Okay. Now, okay, let's continue and move on. Here, we imported two images, one called shapes and the other one called search. Okay. Where the shapes is the original image we are going to look into, and the search is a small image or sub image to test on. Okay, here we got the height and the width as before, and plot the two images. This is the peak image and this is the sub image, which gonna search about it. Okay, for our eyes, here is our template, and we are applying the correlation predefined function between the two images and plotting the correlation map. Looking at the correlation map, obvious it's right here because it is the brightest signal in the whole map. Okay, and plotting the image shapes, it is the original picture, the bigger image with the indices of the maximum values or the brightest values in the correlation map. Okay, and here is the result. It got what we looking for. Let's compare this result with the original template. Okay, let's look at the original template. Okay, notice that the shape here, I think it's called the hexagon. The hexagon here is right in the middle, while the result is shifted slightly to the right. Why is that? Because in the original image, the shape is nearly touching the border of the image or the edge of the image, while the shape we are looking for is centered here. Okay. So the computer found the correlation between this template and the original image. The maximum correlation it found right here. So it returned what it found, not what you are looking for. Okay. Let's make a little bit harder. We are reading an image called paint and another one called Waldo. Okay, where in the image, in the original image, is slightly bigger than the ones we used before. It is the image is almost 700 by 120, And the image we are looking for is almost 50 by 50 pixels, okay? Here in the code, we read the two images, got the height, got the width of the templates, and plotted them together, okay? In this image, I think we need to get the original image to know how hard it is to find this 50 by 50 pixel in this big image, okay? Be right back. Getting the image. Okay, here is a folder. Opening the image. It is the original painting, as you can see. It is slightly hard for us to identify where is the Waldo is. Waldo is an online quiz or online mystery image that has many forms. One form that we are playing with today. This is Waldo, and we are trying to find Waldo in this picture, okay? I will give you 5 seconds just to try by your eyes, okay? Okay, it looks like it's pretty hard, okay? Let's get back to work. Okay, what we did here is just what we used to do. Here we got the argmax, then on reveal index, then plotting the paint, and here this line of code is just getting a rectangle around the template we are searching for, okay, in a black color. Okay, let's plot the image, full size. So Waldo is here. Okay. So it found that where is Waldo is in this section. Okay, it's a pretty hard one compared to the old ones we used to search for. Okay, let's move on. Let's make things better or more harder. Let's get more trickier. Here we loaded two images, one called paint 2 and the other one called the man. I don't know why I called this by this name, but let's move on. Okay, I got the height, I got the width, and plotted them together. Here is the image is nearly 2k. Okay, it's harder and harder. And the template I am looking for is nearly 8 by 20 or 30, okay? So this template is too small compared to the 2K picture we have here on the left, okay? Here, the same code before, same plotting, same revealing index, and the same rectangle, but on this one, we are going to color equal red because it's a black and white image. We can't plot the, it won't be obvious. Okay. And let's see how big this image is. Okay. Okay. Getting back to the archive. And here is bad too. Okay. This is the image. Nearly 2K with too much details in it. Okay, I'll leave the image as it is. 5 seconds. Guess where the template is. And here is the lock of the template. It's nearly impossible. Okay, take your time. Have you found it? You won't find it, okay? Okay, getting back to the image, plotting the image, looking for the rectangle we are looking for, and here it is. Can you see the rectangle? The rectangle is here. Oh, look how small it is. Okay, getting back to the image, there is our temple. Let's zoom in the image. Can find the board we are looking for is here. Can you see it? Sorry. Here it is. It is so small. Let's get back. It is so small compared to the details in this image. So small and so tiny that the computer found it. Okay, getting back to the notebook. And it found it here. Okay, so can we call this an object detection? I don't think so. Why? Because here we are looking for a template. Okay, we are looking for a predefined or a pre-existing image that we have before. What the computer is trying to do is comparing these pixels of the template we have to the corresponding pixels in the image we are given. Okay, so if there is a slightly change in our pixels, it will try to correlate these pixels with the image, giving the maximum correlation between the two images, maybe slightly change in the template or the image can lead to a false result. So you can't depend on it. It is not smart enough to detect an object in an image, but it can search for an object in an image somehow. It is not the best accuracy, but it can do the job for now. Okay, so we came to the end of the tutorial. I hope to see you next time. Peace out.